Splendid. Okay, moving on the weather today. Highs of 10 degrees centigrade, lows of 7 degrees centigrade. Mostly dry with mist or fog patches thinning. So, well, kind of good news.
This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
I bet the sun's just like Gibraltar. What's the weather like over there, Gabriella?
Today it's not that great. It's a bit cloudy, but I can't really complain because I haven't worn a coat yet.
Yeah, well, you said, and we know from your time on the show how much you loved wearing coats in Lincoln, because it's just part and parcel of the magic that actually made you one of our top correspondents. Just great stuff there. Anyway, life continues. So many sort of fascinating things to actually chat about, but of course you're working for not the BBC but GBC, which of course is.
Yeah. Gibraltar Broadcasting Corporation.
Exactly. And I was just sharing with Ace, a new, relatively new co-presenter, although she's become a seasoned pro in all sorts of ways, that's Jessica Ward, that effectively people had actually heard your contributions on the Midweek Drive, which was one of the reasons they managed to tip the balance, which was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, amazing. Oh, it's all very strange in all sorts of magical ways. Anyway, Gabriella, you've sat in the same chair, quite literally, in fact, every chair in the studio, because that's what you used to do, sit in every chair in the studio.
Yeah. You know,
not simultaneously, but obviously various ways. Jessica, so level one, from New Zealand originally, now in the Isle of Man, so keeping this island correspondent going. Astoundingly, somebody else who would expect to actually be with us today, Emma Tinson, bless her heart, massively overslept. I can't believe it. You know, students.
It is early.
What do you expect?
But anyway, I'm thinking really, Gabriella, for you to sort of share the wisdom of your advice, the advice that really, you know, led Angela Rippon to extend and prolong her career, just on the basis of saying, well, you know, if Gabriella could do it, I'll continue working for a few more years yet.
Main advice is just work hard while you're at uni. You're already doing a great job doing Siren FM. And it's just picking up work experience and doing more and more of it. And the thing is with work experience is, the argument is you need experience to get experience. Mm. And then once you start doing stuff like Siren FM, once you start answering, I'm sure your tutors send you like a million emails with like opportunities and things. Just say yes to a couple of them. You don't have to say yes to all of them. Just say yes to a couple that you think are, like, you would like to do, and then just go for it. Really just go for anything. And I think that's people's biggest regret when they leave uni, that they didn't do enough while they were there.
So
use the 3 years and work as hard as possible and join as many things as you can without it affecting your university work.
Try to keep a good balance.
Because, of course, Gabriella used to actually follow in the path of actually turning up for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition and then leaving at 8:45 for a wee while she went and did her TV stuff. In fact, you can actually go through the Facebook photographs and see so many wonderful, stylish scenarios there. But currently we're looking at Gibraltar, Britain in the Sun. There, from the Channel 5 series, with a big sort of routine, there is a tiny bit of blighty where you can guarantee the sun, Gibraltar. Follow the lives of the residents and visitors in the brand new series. Of course, it's already sort of started, but it's been running with respect to, I think, the third season now, in terms of Gibraltar in the Sun. As we actually play the trailer there, we see dolphins swimming in the sea. We see bikini-clad ladies running through the whole thing. We see police officers and the Barbary apes. Yay! Is Gibraltar really like that, or is it a case of media construction, Gabriella? What's going on?
I haven't watched season 3. I watched season 1.
Yes.
But I think with the show is that it does portray some good things about Gibraltar. It does portray, like, we do have the dolphins and we do have the sun. But I think sometimes they make, I guess, the characters that they choose. Well, you have to choose them for reality television. So sometimes I feel like they kind of edit it in a way to not make fun of.
No, how could you? How could you possibly, you know? I mean, you know, as if
the Spanish
would even consider that.
Not make fun of the characters. But I feel bad if people have applied for the show and they're not realised in the editing it's kind of made them look a bit
artificial, unreal, perhaps, you know, exaggerated.
Yeah.
I mean, do we, for instance, actually regularly three marching through the streets of Gibraltar, do we actually see men wearing kilts? You know, is that a sort of stand thing?
Every Saturday morning? Every Saturday morning in town about 11 o'clock, there is the band that plays.
Good heavens.
Up and down our main street, which is like the UK version of a high street. So I've had that all my life, every Saturday morning. 11 o'clock in the morning. Well, expect to hear a large band playing very loudly across the entire high street. But yeah, we do really like to keep kind of the British traditions, I think.
Of course. Mm. I mean, not
we have like the red telephone boxes and we have all the rest, and we're really, really proud of being British. I think we take it to the extent where it's every Saturday morning, but it's just to, I think it's just for us to know that we're British and to show it.
And so
more
you
than
should
anything.
Be. Exactly. I just actually realised that you've been striking the pose quite frequently. We noticed the classic Gabriella pose there, which is quite... I mean, you'll be pleased to know that actually Jessica's also developing her strikeful pose. As you know, if you sort of follow the whole thing on our Facebook page as well. So there we are. So simply go to the... you can access it through the sirenonline.co.uk website for the Midweek Drive, or just go to Southside Broadcasting. Jessica, questions for Gabriella?
Have you always lived in Gibraltar? Sorry.
Or is it just... Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing, you know, I know.
I've always lived there. I was born and bred here. And then at 18, I went to uni for 3 years, and I've come back. So, always been here.
So how was it moving away, like, so far away from home? How was that for you?
I guess at the time... I don't know, I was ready for it, I think.
Let's face it, you know, where would the Chihuahuas of London have actually been without sort of realising that they could actually hear you broadcasting across the airwaves? And, you know, it's not the end of the world, it's just Lincoln. I don't think we use that in the strap line, really. I suppose it could be a marketing
policy. Yeah, it's only like a 2.5 hour plane, so it wasn't that bad. And I think it was just because everyone in university was pretty much in the same position. Mm. If I would have gone into a place where... you know, no one was new and everyone knew each other, maybe it would have been harder, but the fact that everyone was pretty much going from the same thing, whether they lived an hour away or they lived like me, I don't know, like a couple hours in plane away, everyone was kind of going for the same thing, so it didn't really faze me too much, as long as I had kind of everyone, and also my flatmates were, I had two like foreign flatmates as well, so I think they stuck me in the foreign flat. So
well,
we
I mean, it's not that we're setting up a ghetto here, but the fact of the matter is that sometimes you have to go into quarantine for a time before you realise, things work out on that sort of basis, which is important. Katie Grimerson has sent in a text sending her best to your good self, Gabriella, and requesting a mention when, of course, we go to William Sitwell, the award-winning William Sitwell. Award-winning. He's just picked up a Best Editor of the Year award.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll speak to William, obviously, in the second part of the programme. And we're also, you love this, Gabriella, we're also going to be speaking to Lucy Cruikshank, who's a Nuffield scholar who is originally from New Zealand, talking about sheep dairies and how actually Stoneleigh Park is hosting a major sheep dairy event this weekend.
I'm so excited for that.
That sounds very cool.
Do we do the location report at Stoneleigh Park with sheep dairies? Do we go to Birmingham for the NEC? Do we just stay here and actually sort of use the matter of power of thought, etc.? Who knows? You know, I'm sure...
They go to the sheep.
Go to the sheep.
Go visit
the sheep. Right. Okay. Fine. I see. It's always. I think you've had overexposure to the Barbary apes. Moving on. I won't talk about. Well, actually, I mean, Gibraltar obviously doing interestingly in the European Championships. Of course. I mean, have you been covering that for GBC, or is it a case of no? I only do.
Yes,
with...
actually, I work late shift on. Well, half the time I'll work an early shift.
Yeah.
And then half the time I work a late shift, and it seems like every single time I worked a late shift has been the football.
Yes.
So I've had to stay even later because of it. Because usually we do just, like, the news watch, like, the hour programme changes time because football's on, so we've had to move it earlier, and then we've had to cover it as well. I usually do it from Gibraltar, but just maybe tweet about it or do, a report differently, put something online about it, so we've had to stay longer because of it. But, yeah, it seems like every time I've been on a late shift, Gibraltar's played, so I've had to stay until, 11 o'clock at work. But, yeah, I think we're quite proud. We know we're not going to...
To win it.
Progress very far. Yes, I didn't exactly. say that.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But yeah, well, it took San
Marino. We're realistic.
It took San Marino many, many years before they got their first win. So who knows what could happen with respect to Gibraltar. And you never know. Yeah. You know, you could beat Germany.
We tied our first game. Mm-hmm. So, we were, for a while, we were the only undefeated team ever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, for a while, because we tied our first game, but apart from that, we have lost all the rest.
Well, put it this way, I wouldn't necessarily go head-to-head with New Zealand at the moment, although...
Oh, no. Don't mess with us.
She's very competitive. Jessica is a very competitive New Zealander. But it happens. That's important. Gabriella, it's
been...
all sorts of things could happen. Gabriella, can we follow you? Can we actually sort of sign up to be fans of Gibraltarian television in here? Can we access the stuff? Is there a way in which we can spread the word?
We have our Facebook page, which is GBC News. Mm-hmm. And I think if you just write that into Facebook, it should come out.
Screechy sound there, but GBC News. Let's see if Mr. Computer can actually come up with this. It's very old. You see, there we are. William Sitwell's acceptance speech. I'm just going to share that. It's wonderful stuff. William Sitwell in all sorts of other marvellous setup. It is. John Brown's managing editor at the Oscars of the magazine world, and he's actually sort of picked up the sequence as well. Fantastic stuff. But sorry, we were following for so GBC is what we're looking for. Is that right?
Yeah.
GBC, okay. Oh, no, I've just gone to GDBC. That's a completely different system now. No, we don't want to go for that sort of side of things. GBC, this is a really exciting sort of way. It's cutting edge here. We've got GBC staff here. It's got nothing to do with it at all, has it, really? We're going to have to work at a different sort of area there. I'm sure they'll have a Facebook page. That's the whole thing. It's supposed to be international. We'll work our way through that. Unless, of course, you've got a chef there. No, I don't think you have, actually.
No.
A chef who seems to be actually cooking in a filing cabinet. No, it's some sort of...
What are you cooking at?
I have no idea.
No, we love us three. I think we're completely lost. We're lost in a virtual world. Much like Baudrillard, I would have said. Gabriella, I will now ask for the ultimate sort of sequence to happen now, because you remember these last two questions, but Jessica is going to bowl them at you.
Oh.
So away you go, Jessica. Okay.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Yes, I have, very much.
And will we be hearing from you in the near future?
Of course, if Alex invites me again on the show, I will be on.
It's going to happen. Gabriella Peralta, our girl in Gibraltar, you know, it's meant to be.
He's on the phone, and she wants to go home. Shoes in hand to make a sound, it's time to go.
Up to the excitement of the second part of the programme. Yes, I know, we don't want to talk ahead too much, but William Sitwell, who is joining us in the Oscars of the magazine world, of course, received this week, I think it was Tuesday night officially, John Brown, Media's editorial director. William Sitwell won Editor of the Year. Editor of the Year. There we are. That's the kind of quality that we set up for you, Richard Fitzwilliams, you know, in terms of the whole sequence. You know, this is the kind of co-presentational quality that we bring you on at the Midweek Drive Morning Edition and Midweek Drive for Siren 107.3 FM. Makes you feel just a little bit proud, doesn't it?
Oh, I would expect a fellow Leviathan to be on with me.
Yeah, there you are, you see. Classic stuff in all sorts of marvellous ways. And we're not talking about the notion of Leviathan as some sort of monstrous sort of devastating state and all sorts of other bits and pieces. But yesterday we had a couple of interesting debates with, well, chats, shall we say. Debates might be a bit strong, but we talked to Tara Bennett, obviously West Coast editor for SFX magazine, who is interviewing the director, Francis Lawrence of Hunger Games, Mockingjay. Looking forward to it. Emma Tinson, who I think is also keen to actually see it, but tragically, as I say, is still oversleeping. How she managed to send the text while she was sleeping? It's just spooky. That's the line from that. But I think Phil Leonis, if memory serves, Jessica, was saying lower the expectations.
Yes, I'm afraid lower the expectations is precisely... what I must echo, and it's a great pity because I speak as a Hunger Games fan. It's one of those series which it gripped me, and you've got the ideas behind it which are riveting. You've got a cast, including Jennifer Lawrence and Donald Sutherland, are absolutely superb, and you've had a very great number of visuals and scenes that have been spectacularly imaginative. In this particular case, I do have to say that when I left the cinema, I thought, oh dear, just about possibly, and the fans will stay there, but it is a fill-in. This series has been stretched out, and it's been unfortunately stretched out far too long, and you can feel it.
Harsh words, Jessica. Harsh words. Harsh words indeed. What's the classification, by the way? Because it was confusing. I thought it was a 12A. Do we have a classification for the Hunger Games as yet? I'm sure we do, because obviously they'll have done that kind of thing. We're just trying to track it down. Do you know that by any chance, Richard? Or are you just I don't bother about classifications, dear boy. It's a different line entirely.
Well, I mean, the point of classifications... No, I don't know it offhand.
It's...
I would have thought...
We'll find it out. We'll find it out. You know, before.
Yes, we'll find it out. But also, we find out, Caithness Everdeen, who's been airlifted to safety after escaping the third Quell, she becomes the hero and the symbol of hope for Panem. Panem's president, Coin, is played by Julianne Moore, and it's a personal thing, her duel with the evil President Snow in the Capitol, played by Donald Sutherland, who has a fondness both for white roses and for bombing hospitals and every other form of sadism. This is Snow, who's psychologically very adroit. He knows the way to get at Caithness is, in fact, through Peter, who is not in a happy state here because he appears on television to be calling for a truce. Now, why is that? What has happened to him? And what could President Snow's dastardly plan be? It's quite interesting that Snow has lost a lot of support, and including in this film, we see as Plutarch Heavensby, before his tragic death, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and wonderful to see him in a series of films where he's appeared to show what an extraordinary actor that we sadly miss. And of course an amusing turn from Woody Harrelson and so forth. The problem with this movie is not its cast, which is excellent. It's the fact that it is dragging it out to get fans waiting for the final episode. And I have to admit that I will going to see the final episode because I found the whole thing, especially the I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, in a, shall we say, a different
context
setting.
Exactly. So it's 12A, very by different. The way. 12A, just in case you're wondering. The same certification as The Hobbit actually has, so there we are, 12A.
But the problem is the rating that one would struggle to give 2.5 stars to a film like this, simply because, and I speak as an admirer, I mean, I've been riveted by the whole concept of The Hunger Games, and it held me, and the last one I saw, you were conscious of the need to milk the audience, and you shouldn't be.
Remember, it's all a question of opinion. I was very tempted to bring in Janet Street Porter's review of The Imitation Game, which effectively accused it of being a kind of Famous Five whitewash of history, which is interesting. But still, there we are. That was Janet Street Porter for you. And how can you actually sort of, gainsay the views of the Street Porter person? Particularly
you
the way
can
she could...
certainly straight. Mind you, I'm not suggesting that The Imitation Game didn't have certain scenes of contrived when you tell the story. You condense, you convey what could be called the essence of it, and on the whole, there were scenes that were very, very clearly, shall we say, written in because it was a film. You had also to tell the story in certain ways, and I think there have been certainly criticisms of the film for not having explicit sex scenes, which showed.
But you don't need them all the time, for goodness sakes.
I don't think you do. No, I agree. I don't think you do. And I think it's.
I mean, we've managed to do the last 20 odd years of Midweek Driver Radio Show without explicit sex scenes. You can cope, it's important.
Well, I'm delighted to have heard that.
Me too.
But I have to say, what drags out in the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1, in the condensed imitation game, which obviously takes some liberties with its subject, but nonetheless, you've got a performance by Benedict Cumberbatch, which is absolutely awesome. And for that reason, and also to pay tribute to an amazing period in our history, there's no question that the movie will attract large audiences. I haven't read Rennet Street Porter on it, and I mean, there's no doubt Kira, I thought, rather good. But I mean, it isn't a performance where there's a great deal of depth. It's a way of telling the story that perhaps she, since it involves flashbacks both to Alan Turing's childhood, also the horrors of when he was convicted of what was then called gross indecency.
Well, as the street porter person tells herself, basically, and I must admit, I'll be honest here, when I first encountered Janet Street Porter as an undergraduate student myself going down to London, I thought, oh, isn't this nice? They actually give radio broadcasts and TV slots to people who've got real difficulties with their speech. But never mind, that's by the by. It's just a different line. She doesn't so much strangle the vowel as garrote it, bless her heart. Still, far be it from me.
How right you are.
Far be it from me to work it any other ways. After all, let's face it, we live in a country which also had Derek Jameson as one of the sort of key presenters on BBC Radio 2 for a while. But still, there we are. But I mean me. Moving on, what else would you like to talk about, Richard Fitzwilliams?
Well, there is this amazing film which won at Cannes, Andrew Zavinskev's Leviathan, a film that's, well, you could almost say it's biblical in its scale.
Well, it is biblical. So, Leviathan is a biblical term. It's first
yes,
in the Bible.
Yes, and also, of course, the whale, and we see its skeleton, and its skeleton is symbolic of not only a loss of liberty, but also a country that's very much lost its way. And we see the territory here, a part of, set in the peninsula by the Barents Sea. It's a microcosm of a larger Russia where corruption, venality, and a misuse of power are, as well we know, very, very much the rule. There's little hope for the individual. This is a very powerful film. Visually, some of the scenes are absolutely stunning, and there are a series of superlative performances. Kolya, played by Alexei Sogbianov, owns a particularly fine piece of real estate. It's wanted by the corrupt mayor of the town. A performance by Ronan Merjanov, not a name I knew, but my goodness me, he's absolutely superlative as a bloated, boorish bureaucrat who's drunk half the time. Really superb, and he's prepared to do absolutely anything in his power to buy this for a tiny sum. What he doesn't reckon on is the fact that Kolya can get an army pal from Moscow, a lawyer, to dig up the dirt on him. But if you do that to a mayor of
Moscow, you don't want to go there. I just want to point out, actually, because confusion can reign, nothing to do with Thomas Hobbes' Leviathan, the book of the same name, of course, or indeed the documentary in 2012 shot in the North Atlantic and focusing on the commercial fishing industry. Although, curious enough, that does tie in with something I'll be talking about in a reporting continuity and change lecture today about documentary. Yeah, no, spooky. But it's easily confused, because otherwise I could have been actually saying, Richard, this is not matching our kind of information, until I actually checked out that actually the Leviathan that we're looking at is 2 years, it was sent out 2 years ago. This is a completely different Leviathan, but it's the same name.
And this is the film that won at Cannes, and this is an amazing film. And if I have to say that you see the issue of the corruption of justice, and you also see the fact that there are a lot of surprises in this film. One of the clever, it's a clever structure that it will draw you in, and then certain scenes will transpire to have very different endings from those that you initially thought they were going to have, because it tells a story straight on the whole. But on the other hand, it's full of very interesting little touches and surprises. Also, we have a look at the way the church is in cahoots with the local mafia, and we also see how they have links to Moscow, and we also see the dangers of challenging local bureaucrats who are as cruel and harsh and brutal as the mayor I mentioned, on his own home turf. Not wise for Moscow-based lawyers, perhaps. A very interesting film, but a film where the beach whale we see on the poster is symbolic of the decay of any value, and also the way the individual and also his wife, his second wife, Lilia, played by Elena Ladjova and played beautifully, they're in danger when they start fighting an authority. There's a court, there's a code of law. It's almost, the court scenes are amazingly robotic. You could, this would be a form of President Snow's capital. It could well be part of it. It's that bizarre, they quote in this chapter's verses and laws. It's perfectly obvious what the result is going to be. But this is a film that those who enjoy the sort of film will really savour. And it's no surprise it won at Cannes. It's very impressive. It's brilliantly acted. And visually, some of the scenes are unforgettable.
It won the award for Best Screenplay. That's what it won the award for. And it's a modern-day retelling of the biblical story of Job. Surely Jonah, never mind, set in contemporary Russia. Jessica, thoughts on Leviathan?
I really like it. I think it'll be really interesting to watch. I've always loved the kind of Russian history and the culture that has, like, adapted over time. So, yeah, no, I think I'll definitely check this out.
But if you are searching these things out online, obviously if it's safe and legal to do so, we don't want you to be driving in.
Oh, yes.
Because it's not good if you're driving and actually sort of using your iPad at the same time, as well as illegal. But we would also point out that you can have lots of Leviathans there. As you know, Jessica, you attest to. I mean, there we were completely on the wrong virtual page to Richard for a few moments, both looking a little bit puzzled. What's he talking about, we thought. But there we are. Now we've tracked it down. We've bonded yet again. Richard Fitzwilliams, you've brought your magic to the whole sequence. What about Hunger Games, Jessica? Mockingjay, is it a case of, as Philena said last night, we'll hold fire and maybe it's a two-parter, just as Harry Potter, of course, split up Deathly Hallows?
Well, I don't know, I'm really bummed out about that, the two-star rating.
It's a bit of a shocker, isn't it?
It is very shocking.
Richard Fitzwilliams in two-star rating, shocker for Hunger Games Mockingjay.
I wasn't expecting that.
Well, I'm disappointed myself. I mean, I do have to say that I am looking forward. I must admit this, I must emphasise and stress this for the fans. See it, because there will be the concluding part, and what we'll be watching is something that will be worth seeing, because they'll turn up the excitement. Don't forget the way the Hobbit, the first Hobbit, was so badly reviewed, and subsequent, the second, I'm looking forward to seeing the third, showed Peter Jackson that he's best yet again with the sets and the battles, and you know, with poor reviews. And mind you, they have to say that Mockingjay had mixed reviews. There's no question that I was surprised to see an almost empty cinema in the critic screening I attended, but it's got a chance of redeeming itself and keeping that original excellence and that uniqueness. But there is one other thing I would like to mention, because Life itself is also a film that's a very moving tribute to a film critic, Roger Ebert, who became a national figure in...
Two thumbs up, Richard. Two thumbs up for Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert...
As in Siskel and Ebert.
Siskel and Ebert. I don't think... I asked when I saw it at BAFTA, and they had a Q&A afterwards with... director Steve James, I asked if there was any chance of Siskel and Ebert's, so to speak, with other critics returning on American television, because they both, being film critics of rival newspapers, had an amazing rapport, and we see very entertaining clips of some of the programs. And the answer was no, there simply isn't the demand for it. Ebert transcended film criticism, and we not only see a documentary which showed part of his fascinating life and the way he was able to make film come alive, but also the amazingly courageous fight against cancer of the jaw and mouth, which left him unable to speak, and he was unable to eat. He had to use a tube. And I mean, there are scenes in this film which really are deeply moving. This is the way he wished the documentary to show some of the scenes of his amazingly courageous battle, aided by his wife, who's so supportive, comes across wonderfully well, Chaz Ebert, and then we have contributions from the likes of Martin Scorsese, whom Ebert encouraged in the early years. Interesting, the Ebert collaboration with Russ Meyer, Alex, you will recall.
No, steady on. We can't do Faster Pussycat, Kill Kill on a regular basis without sort of, you know, thinking that's almost exploitation, you know?
Anyway. It's certainly well worth mentioning. 46 years review for the film review for the Chicago Sun-Times, yeah. And over 30 years on television, a star in his own right, and someone who was able to convey his enthusiasm for films as no other critic has managed to do, certainly in recent years and certainly in my knowledge. And the pity is, given social media, and given the fact that although nothing stopped Ebert until his death, he continued to blog and write. Even when he couldn't eat, he was able to write a book about food. That showed the extraordinary tenacity of such a courageous person. But there is no successor.
Well, there we are. Life Itself, 2014 American biographical documentary film about film critic Roger Ebert, directed by Steve James and, of course, produced by Zach Piper. Does it appeal, Jessica?
To be honest, probably not.
Probably not.
I don't know.
We'd rather have honesty than, you know, somebody
exactly.
saying, yeah, I might, etc. It's very good. It's the best policy. but yeah, worth sort of catching in every sense of way, if only because of obviously his film critic background, as you say, transcending a whole range of fascinating things. Anyway, we haven't got time to talk about Christmas shopping or any other sort of bits and pieces other than sort of summarising Leviathan, Life Itself, and The Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games, Mockingjay.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Which will improve. It will improve. My prediction is it will improve. I have been harsh because I know when I'm being exploited.
Yeah.
There are certain scenes in it which are entertaining. And let's not forget, Caithness Everdeen, Downing was one of President Snow's jets with arrow. If only we could all do that.
And it's J-Law, clearly. You know, what's not to appreciate when you've got J-Law in there? Fantastic.
There's a lot to appreciate about J-Law, and I'm a great admirer.
J-Law is a singer with a slightly expanded derriere, apparently. So it's Jennifer Lopez. J-Law is obviously Jennifer Lawrence. Very poor. We keep.
I thought you christened her new Out of Affection.
Last two questions for Richard Fitzwilliams, please. And Jessica.
Have you enjoyed the midweek drive this morning?
Oh, it's been tremendous fun, as always.
And will we be hearing from you maybe next week?
Absolutely.
Yay!
And now, from Cameron Tilbury's Hip Kitty themselves...